Okay, so we are back from our very long break, and we're going to continue discussing from where we stopped at. So I don't know if you guys want to continue with the, if you had any other thing to add to the discussion on the wedding thing or the marriage thing, but the other thing we had left to talk about was what you guys think about what's happening in the royal home. If you guys had any opinion, anything to share, or so if you guys have anything, because I know that that topic, I'm pretty sure it's still even trending, like heated. So if you guys have anything to share, a continuation of that marriage thing, and just real quick round it up, or if you don't have anything to say, we could just go into the royal family, and then yeah.
I think the queen had
You guys, my groove is gone. I cannot remember how.
you
I
must
can't
have
remember what I had to
had a
say.
point of view that was not aligning.
Yeah, I mean, you have to remember. It's good to be
You better
aligned.
remember.
Yeah,
Wait,
I think we may as well move on. I cannot remember what was going on yesterday. When I went to bed, everything went.
you mean for the
But I
royal?
had something to say, but I just can't remember what I had to say about the whole marriage thing.
Oh, the marriage
So.
thing. So, but yeah, we're talking about the, let's just talk about the royal family one first. And if you maybe remember what you want to say about the marriage one, you can come back. But yeah, Nelson, what do you mean by, in fact, repeat what you just said about the queen?
About what?
About the queen, you just said something.
Oh no, that issue, the royal family. Honestly, I am a very strong advocate for minding your business. And first of all, I will say to everybody that doesn't have anything profitable to say or positive to say that they should mind their business. And in that spirit, if Meghan and Harry are telling us that, you know, this is what they experienced, this is the trauma that, you know, they experienced, you know, whether people believe that it's, you know, it's not difficult enough or it's not hard for them because they are royalties or, you know, something is inaccurate, it's their trauma. So if, you know, we cannot be there with them or sympathize with them the way they want us to, mind your business, you know. So I just think that's kind of how it should be, right? Because if they say they're going through it, then they're going through it. With regards to the Queen and, you know, the wonderful people of the Great Britain, I don't have anything to say. I believe there has been a steady there has been that steady discussion that racism is very much alive, you know, in in Britain, but they seem not to admit it, right? And so, like, I don't know because, you know, I haven't like lived there, so I cannot really say. But if there is that continuous discussion coming from every angle, and now someone in the royal family is also bringing it up, there just might be content to that discussion, right? So that's all I have to say. Aside that, I will mind my business.
Yeah, I don't live there, but there is. I'm telling you. No, it messes. Just from looking at those who like watch soccer, right? If you go on Twitter after like, plays terribly, you see all kinds of things, and you just like, in this day and age, how? Like, people still this way. And let's even look at this. I read some things online, right? And someone said Megan is not black enough to experience racism. How does
Wow.
that make it?
I
Like,
mean,
I don't know, actually. So how, what is the measurement of being black? Like, when are you black enough or when are you not black enough?
mean, but I even game an Archie that is almost white
Actually,
himself.
that is
So
looking white like
white,
that.
white. That baby is
That baby
white.
is white. So, bro.
He's a quarter black.
That's your face on that guy's skin. It's not. Are you? How are you worried about that dude if he's gonna be black? That dude is never been black. Not as black. He's as white as Prince Williams. I don't understand.
He's a quarter black.
Huh?
One drop
Is
gold.
quarter black.
He's a quarter black.
Oh, One drop of blackness. Me, I don't even know what to say concerning that.
Something that happened online on social media. I think it was Twitter. Mm-hmm. Granted, Twitter is not really a representation for how a society really operates and how they think, but still, it gives a somewhat of a good idea. But there was, I think it was 2 years ago, there was an ad by Cadbury, I think, but it was a British company, and the poster had a black family with it. And it was a black, his father and his son and daughter, I think, or maybe just his son. And the outrage, because the person in the flyer was black instead of white, because they were saying that the ad should portray the majority of the population in the country, and that black people shouldn't be on the posters. And it was absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't believe it. At some point, I just started laughing because it's like, it's really hilarious that some people still think like this. But
I mean, you just have to face the fact at this point in time that as much as we like to deny, or at least I like to deny the fact that there's racism, we just have to come to the fact in terms that racism is still present. Like, it's not as, you know, it's not in your face as it was before back in the days, as we've heard.
Mm-hmm.
But like digs, and like, you can't whip people just say it as like it's a normal sentence. Like, oh, you know, it's something that everybody just says. They just say it and it passes like a normal sentence, but in hindsight, that shit is racist. Excuse my life. At some point, I think the country has to, as a whole, actually, the whole world as a whole has to do something about it, because whatever they've been doing, it's not working. And just like, I don't know if you guys saw it, but it went around soccer player that was called Wilfried Zaha. Because there's in soccer in the Premier League in England, before every single match, they kneel in support of racism, like fight against racism, so they take a kneel, you know. But he stood up and said, at this point in time, kneeling down on the field doesn't do anything. So he didn't kneel down. He said it doesn't make sense if you keep kneeling down and there's not like, nothing has been done, there's no progress being made, and people are still racially being abused. At that point in time, it just become a routine, you know, and it makes sense, because they're like, oh, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. At some, like, I know of some companies that actually employ black people just so that when they have their yearly flyers and yearly magazines, they can just put your face there and say, oh, yeah, well, you know, you are racially inclusive. That means a blessing, but like, is that the point? Is that how you have to employ him? Sorry,
it's for the diversity quota now.
So, okay. To what you said, right, Vivi? So I'm currently working on a diversity, inclusion and equity project. And, you know, kind of like some of the background, you know, like research and discussions that, you know, I'm having with my team is, you know, trying to really understand, you know, how effective those can be, right? And, mm-hmm. You know, there was this like topic that kind of like came up where it was like, if the implementation of like, you know, diversity initiatives will really like take effect, if the reason that it's being done is so that, you know, the majority can say, or the majority can publicly look, you know, good. Right. So, for example, like, you know, if a company is kind of going into all those, you know, initiative, not because they genuinely care, or not because they genuinely think that, you know, like the minority should be treated, you know, equal and all of that, but so that they can be perceived as, you know, as favorable in, you know, the eyes of the media and all those stuff. Right. You know, how that really matters in diversity initiative. And I just think that, you know, like, we can, you know, kind of push that, yeah, racism is this and racism is that. And it will definitely get to the point where that, you know, like, people will start feeling like, oh, well, you know, for the sake of looking good, you know, well, I'm just going to, like, you know, just, I'm just going to, like, you know, not say anything about, you know, my true attitudes towards, you know, people of color, right? Or not say anything, you know, with my true attitude with regards to minority. So I don't know how far, like, you know, we can really go of, like, you know, this racism discussion, you know, because, yeah, we continue to have that discussion. We continue to, like, you know, really, like, highlight it, really pursue it and all of that. But is it really changing, you know, is it really changing the culture, right? Is it really going to, is it really making people change their attitude or just change their behavior, right? So I think, just, and this coming from like a sociology perspective, I think it's, first of all, it's in human nature for people to, like, you know, kind of pit themselves against, you know, put themselves in group and pit themselves against each other. And particularly, eventually, I also hope, or, you know, just from like what history has showed us, is that we are going to get to a point where, you know, like, racism is not, or let me not say racism, race is not going to be the dividing class anymore, right? So we're not really going to be concerned, you know, if, you know, someone is black or white. And I hope we're going to get there. And, you know, just with the rates of, like, you know, interracial relationship we're seeing, mm-hmm. we just might get there. I mean, right now we are discussing of royalty that is black.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we are, you know, of course, like, encroaching to that point where it's like, I guess color or color of your skin, you know, should not matter that point, right? But then my worry is that they will change, you know, the classification, right? My worry is that it's no longer going to be like one drop of black makes you black, you know? My worry is that it's going to change to something else, right? Well, you know, if your two shades darker, if you look like, you know, Sarah, you're not good enough. You know, you're not good enough for a particular thing, right? Sarah, don't mind me. You have beautiful black skin. So, but the point that I'm trying to say is that, like, where do we go from here? You know, like, where do we go from here? You know, we're continuing to fight the fight. We can make discussions. We can shout it, you know, like, breeding is like one of the world's greatest, you know, forces, right? And they would not even admit to the fact that, you know, there is, like, you know, racism happening for them. So where do we go from here, right? Chinoy, where do we go from here? It's a genuine question.
On the spot.
I think it's like it just has to start from individual effort. Those ones that are, you know, the little ones that are maybe in the baby boomer generation, the older ones that have grandkids, those little ones that still have that hardcore dominance of, oh, my skin color is dominant to yours because of blah blah blah, because they were in that period where it was, you know, shitty. Excuse my language, but if it's like, oh, they can start seeing why this time what isn't like their time, and it all has to do with like what they feed their kids and stuff. And also, I also look at like the black community also. It is a huge problem. Yes, we know that. So on our end, what can we do to make sure that we're seeing it and we're fighting for ourselves, right? But I don't want to say that, okay, maybe we don't, where it's not needed to be, you know, blown out of proportion, we do not, you understand? So where you don't exaggerate or blow things out of proportion, but where you feel like, oh my God, I've been very hurt by this because I see like you don't really care, you're blankly racist, you understand? What can you do to kind of like make people see things in a different light? And I just feel like in a way it even takes out of, oh, being a racist, because then you're not also, oh, this person is a racist, plus now add human beings, you know, those that are just born trolls, you now add that on top, like those that you're looking at people that, is this person a person that likes to listen, is this someone that maybe has their own, you know, messed up situation, that, you know, what have they been fed when they were growing up? What did they see? Where did they grow up? Because community matter. I hear some people be like, oh, I grew up in a very, this is a dominant community, so I don't even understand what's going on. I don't know what's going on. So how do you make yourself see what's going on? The kind of person you're communicating with. So at some point for me, it's just like trying to like attend to trolls in normal day, right? Sometimes I'll just be like, I mean, what's the essence of dragging this thing with you? Just do you and move on. So it's
I have a question though. So with what you've said, I have a very radical question.
Yeah.
Do you think that the only way to completely eradicate oppression is to get rid of the oppressor? And it's for everybody. The question is for everybody.
One of the reasons why it just seems like it's a problem that just keeps coming and coming and just evolving into different things is simply that there's a particular, I'm not saying this is everybody, I'm saying there's a particular set of people who use that to their advantage and take it out of proportion, just like Esther said. Because there are certain situations in which it is not meant to be that way. It wasn't spoken out of race. I don't know the English to use. Out of,
racial bias.
Exactly. Out of that, it was simply just said just because. But people have taken out of context that use the word racism to their own advantage. Like, if you go to a company, let's say you have an interview at a company, right? And you get there, they say get there, at your interview is at 8 o'clock. You get up exactly at 8. Everybody knows if you're going for an interview, you need to at least get there like 10 minutes late.
Early.
It had to come out.
You have to get there at least 10 minutes earlier, the latest, just to show them that you can be punctual. But if you get there, let's say you get there early, right? But you don't have enough qualifications. But the people that are working there have enough qualifications, but they are predominantly white. Now, there are some people who use that and say, well, that company is racist. At that point in time, is it racist or you don't have enough qualifications? Because if they employ you because you are black but you don't have enough qualifications, it is racism.
That's worse.
You classify that as racism. But if you don't get employed and you are black, but most of the people that work there are white, it can be perceived as racism also. So I think we have to first, to answer to this question, I don't believe we need to do away with all the... I think one of the things we need to do is actually need to teach the new generation that you need to just show them that there's no difference, like differences in skin color doesn't mean anything. Because, yes, there are people from the baby boom generation that actually feed these things to their kids. And I'm happy because my first, as I said, my roommate, his name was James, right? He told me, when he told his grandma that, my roommate is from Nigeria, he's African, so he's black, obviously, right? She was like, I hope everything is okay. I hope your stuff are safe. And he told her that just because... he's black and everything doesn't mean all these things are true. At some point, I think such idea might actually work. And I think about it because you just have to understand that these people are teaching their kids and their grandkids.
I want to clarify that is not my idea.
Just to clear things out.
That's
such
a very, 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 very radical, very, very radical solution.
Like, he used the word. He even used the word.
I think from a standpoint of evolution, right? The best approach we can take to this is by, having the oppressed strong enough to oppose the oppressors, right? Because you constantly appear as a prey until you're strong enough to be a predator yourself. So we're not trying to be predators, but at the same time we want to be strong enough to scare predators, right? So if you look at it from that kind of aspect, right? And that's why there's a lot of encouragement for
you know, support black business, you know, like this is mm-hmm. a black billionaire, this is mm-hmm. a wealthy person of color that's doing this, that's, you know, breaking this, you know, a wealthy person of color has this, or, you know, take example, Tyler Perry having a studio person of color, you know, or even like, you know, Oprah, or even our vice president, right? So that's why it's like, it's kind of a really big deal as like, you know, people of color get into like, you know, this power of like, you know, this positions of power or like positions of, you know, great, you know, wealth, you know, and all of that, right? Because it's slowly but surely beginning to mm-hmm. equalize the playground.
Mm-hmm.
And when that playground is being equalized, you know, then it's not just automatically going to mean that, you know, racism will end,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it's kind of going to change the topic to like, you know, what else, you know, since we're now at that same level, you know, like, who else can be oppressed, right? Take a look at example, say China and, you know, the US, right? You know, the US say, oh, we have atomic bombs, you know, nuclear weapons, and we can blow you up, you know, in a matter of minutes. And China says, yes, so do we. And, you know, we have this, and, you know, we can blow you up in a matter of minutes. And so there is that mutual fear and mutual respect.
Sorry, just ask.
Mutual respect.
Oh, Lord.
You know, they both know that, you know, they are both capable of, you know, very, very doing, you know, like very, very, you know, severe, you know, harm, right? However, now, what they both do is that together now, they both decide which other country should come into possession of nuclear weapons, right? So now it's become like, you know, they are both so strong that then they decide like, okay, well, you know, these other people should not get that kind of power. And if you take that mentality and bring it to like this, you know, thing of like color, you know, skin color and all of that, right? Just imagine, you know, if there was, you know, black people should get to that level of, you know, power and authority, the same as, you know, the white man, right? And you know, we get to that point where like, you know, a white man says like, okay, you know, we don't want you in this company, and then, you know, a black man says, well, that's fine, I'm just gonna buy that company. So it becomes, you know, a situation of like, you know, both, you know, there's both power, there's both, you know, like, there's both wealth, you know, in both fields and all of that. Then the new topic now becomes who to be oppressed, you know. And my fear is that the answer to that question is going to be the poor. But until we get there, you know, like, right, let's you know, just keep hoping for the best and hoping. And this is all just looking at, you know, like history, you know, sociology, you know, and all of that together, right? So, but
so
I guess
we prefer to oppress the poor.
But it must be.
We prefer to oppress the poor.
Yes, it's in human nature. No, that's the truth, though. It's in human nature.
Okay, let's.
Okay, yeah, you're white. All right. But check this out, right? Financially, I own you. Physically, you know, I own you. Mentally, you know, I am more educated than you. So, you know, like, it becomes more like, even, you know, power-wise, you know, I have a direct access to, you know, a handful of senators who are doing my bidding as a black person. So how exactly are you powerful than me?
Mm-hmm.
And so that begins to change that. So eventually, you know, even those people that still has that strong feeling of like, yeah, you know, I'm better than a black person, it suddenly begins to change, right? Because they can't even teach that to their children anymore, because it's like, on what basis, right? You know, on what basis is this person better than us? Like, okay, how are we better than them? It's just like, imagine telling like a white kid that, oh, yeah, you're better than, you know, James, because James is black. And then he's like, but James' father owns 2 Bentleys and a helicopter. Like, you know,
how am I? So it's all going back to, you took the power from us, we're taking this power back. Like, it has to be on power level for it to just,
yes,
balance.
So eventually, that's why it's really, you know, like, sociologists have been able to identify that. And also, like, you support a black business today, you know, or this vote for a black person, or, you know, this. So that's kind of where all of that's going to, right? Because eventually, like, you know, when there's that change in, like, you know, power, there's that change in, like, wealth, does that change? So it changes discussion. So that's just it.
I have a question. As for me, I have a question. With the way Burna Boy won today, now you can, would you connect that to what you're trying to say, Nelson? You know.
Yeah. So I mean, that's for example, right? That's still kind of like, you know, on that level to like, you know, power, right? You know, we still don't have enough power because Burna Boy won a Grammy Award in a session that is predominantly just given to people of color. It's called Best World Music. Do you understand? And it's like, whether you look at it practically or not, right? It's like saying that, yeah, he's the king, but he's only the king in, you know, Africa, because, you know, he cannot measure up to other places. Do you understand? Or he's only the king, you know, of like, you know, like say just these people, because he cannot measure up to like, you know, everybody else that's on that playing field. I mean, I'm not trying to downplay the fact that, of course, you know, he's one of the world's, you know, most popular, you know, preferred artist at this time. He won a Grammy. But I'm still saying, right, that the class in which they have put him in, right, there's still kind of that, you know, box. There's still kind of that box. So there's still a lot more that needs to be done, right?
So there's not like, so they are not even in that world. Like when you say best world album, it's like they're not even, their own level of class is not even in that.
We want to see competitions of where like these people are not just in like, you know, best world album, right? These people are kind of like they're in the Grammy because they are going for like, you know, best performers, you know, like best artist of the year, you know, all of that, right? So that's kind of like, you know, changing the whole discussion. Like, you know, well, it doesn't also take from the fact that like there's a lot of like, you know, black people now compared to before that's also winning the Grammy, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we have like Megan Stallion, we have Beyonce, you know, we have what's his name? I can't remember his name off the top of my head now. But like there's still people, you know, black people that, you know, like winning the Grammy and all of that, right? But there's still a lot more work to be done. There's still a lot more like power to be fought for, power to be gained, power to be taken, you know, because like if we really want to level that playing ground, then we gotta like, you know, just fight to get enough, you know? Yeah. So, fight to get enough power. So,
but
it's a step in the right direction. So, that's good.
Only God knows when that time will come.
Like, as long as it's an accomplishment for a black person to win something, then we're still not there. Because as people who literally are probably the best people to make music ever, I mean, we have invented almost every genre of music. Mm-hmm. If it's an accomplishment till this day for a black person to be nominated for something, then it's still not it. Because it should be normal. We expected it to happen. You know what I'm saying? Because you see, like, first black person to do this in 2021 is an accomplishment, but it's also kind of sad.
Agreed.
Because we've had, after this whole time, first black person to do anything in this 2021.
Well, you mean like African? No, not really African, because some Africans have, but like there's still a lot to do. Yeah, I still get exactly.
It's not the norm. You say, oh wow, he did that as a black person, as an African, which is it's good because it's starting to change the picture for black people. But it tells you that we're not there yet. If this is where we are right now, that we're starting to get there, to open the door into those rooms. We should be ruling those rooms. That's what we should be by now. But opening the door to the room is good. It's just, it should tell us that we're not close to what we should be as a people.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, like it's that same thing, you know? So eventually, you know, like we look like we're going in the right direction, you know? We look like we're going, we have, you know, a couple of billionaires now that are, you know, like black, you know, that are black people. So I guess that's somewhere to start from, you know, but we're still not where we're going to be to say that, you know, the playing ground is leveled, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But that's just that.
A question came to mind. It might sound stupid, but first of all, let me say the question, what I want to say, right? So, if the tables were turned, do you think it would be the same? like if we were the ones that were in seat of power, would we act the same? Now,
I can't even imagine that.
I would want to say that question doesn't matter.
In fact, that thing is just out of this.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
One of the things that actually has to change is between is, I don't know if you guys, maybe, I'm pretty sure you've noticed, but black people, most times, we are our own enemy. We don't stand eye to the fact that we are our own enemies.
It's poverty.
Capitalism.
There's no
capitalism.
It's poverty.
Because tell me why you see another black person trying to succeed and you're like, oh.
Your chest will be hot.
Because you don't have anything.
Like, why is it? If you look at it, I don't mean to sound racist and compare and contrast, but like, if a white person is succeeding, right, or is starting a business or is doing something, his friends will be the first one to encourage. His friends or her friends will be the first person to buy the product and spread the word. And instead of saying, oh, this person is this, you know, this person is trying to feel big now and he's making it, they encourage themselves, right? They say, oh, this person is on the come up. I'll spread the word about the person, right? Instead, we black people will look at it that, I ain't buying from that person. Why should I buy from the person?
Yes, Vivi, can I say something that to me, or partially what I see, I feel like this one is even like maybe one of the major factors. It's not like really putting blame, but in a way, it's there. That's it. That's the way I see it. It's like, for that, I feel it's just, I think it has to do with the mentality that they've been fed. Because the only way where I can balance this out, what you're saying in terms of like, in terms of, you know, black man to black man, white man to white man, I think it also has to do with probably the mentality they've been fed with when all those problem issues started with the dominance. But also, a way where I can now see that, this is something that it's really us that have this issue, is take me back to when, before these people came into our picture, right? And if we can see a dominance then, right, then maybe I can now be able to, for me, okay, level it and be like, okay, yeah, this is a problem that we ourselves we have. Because I feel like in a way it's that mentality that they feel, it's been fed, you know, you are worth nothing, so I don't think, why should you dream? You know, it's still in some people's mind that when they now start seeing their brother dreaming and winning, it's very awkward, it's strange. It's like, why are you dreaming and why are you winning? You get me? So it's like, oh, I need to cut out from that mentality because, man, this is my brother winning. It's like what I wanted for myself or whatever and for our people. So, you know, so I don't know. I think it's connected to that mentality they've been fed, like, you know, go back. But if I can see that it's us, really, I want to know from when we were not oppressed, when such thing never existed, which, I mean, humans have been existing for a very long time. Exactly. So you have to locate it back. If not, this kind of a thing, for me, what I've seen, it's connected to how their mentality has been affected with that oppression.
That's true.
It's not like it's...
And if there has been a systemic desensitization to success.
Okay,
but man, this topic is deep.
I'm not educated enough.
No. No. It's and it's very, very, very real, right? And, you know, like, if we're just going to use one word, you know, like Sarah said, yeah, poverty, you know, but it's just more than poverty, right? It's kind of, there has been a systemic desensitization to the fact that, like, so, for example, right, let's take a look at, at a very, very, let's take a look at just, say, like, movies that we see, you know, like, portrayed by, you know, like, blacks, right? We do see that in some movies where they really want to portray, like, you know, black people, there's, you know, you see like a family where, you know, like they come from, you know, maybe the grandfather went to jail, and then, you know, like, you know, the mother had to like raise the kids And then, you know, the grandmother was the one that was there because the mother wasn't a, like, nobody finished high school, you know, and then, you know, like there's all of this, and, you know, there's all of this, like, kind of like limitation or shortcomings, right? It's almost as if, like, there has been that creation where it's almost impossible for them to see the sky. You understand? Not to talk of aim for the stars, you know? So it's like, how do you, and this is something that, like, it's not by mistake, it's not by chance, right? The people that have been in power for the longest time have taken out time to, like, make sure that, you know, systematically these people do not have those kind of opportunity, right? But it has occurred for so long that, right, when, you know, people eventually get to see the sky, right, you know, they are so like blown away by it that, you know, they do not even think of, like, aiming into the stars, you know. So there's all of that there. Just imagine, like, someone who's coming from, like, this kind of background, and then, you know, like, you telling them that, yes, I believe you can be, you know, a senator, and you're like, because, you know, like, you know, it's not possible, it's not feasible, it's not doable, you know. And so, unfortunately, it's there, it's been there for the longest, you know. It's a cycle that, you know, as Black people were trying to break, it's very, very difficult. Because, you know, the social system that we have now still encourages it to a certain extent, you know. I'm not saying that, you know, it should not be done, but at the same time, you see that, you know, the social system we have, you know, offers help to, like, you know, yes, you know, young people, like, oh yeah, it's okay, you know, you can have your child, you know, it's fine, even if you cannot take care of them, we're going to give you just little enough for you to feed them, you know, and not be able to send them to school, but keep them alive. You know, not to be able to give them education, you know, like, but, you know, give them somewhere to, like, live in, you know. So it's all these little things that has kind of, like, amounted over time, and where we are, right? And so that's why that's kind of like when you see another person that's kind of, like, you know, breaking that roof, breaking that boundaries, you know, soaring into that sky, it's unacceptable because you have been convinced that it's unattainable, you know. So It's like, no, it's not possible because, like, you know, I convinced myself that, you know, it's not possible. So that you have to be obviously doing something wrong. It's just that. It's just that. And, you know, the only people to blame are the oppressors.
Psych.
If I may step in, right?
Can this be short, please?
A lot of documentaries are mainly soccer because soccer is life. You get me? But I was watching a documentary and it was talking about Rwanda and how, like, white people came into Rwanda and, you know, they thought about soccer, right? But I believe in Rwanda, they were all one. I believe it was just one race, like one tribe, I may say. And then they got split into two, right? And so those two, like, they would compete with each other to do things like friendly competitions, right? But over time, that boiled over, and then there was war. War, and the rivalry was just so bad. So I believe one of the reasons why, if I may, African countries haven't moved forward is because the seed that has been sown as far back as whenever is just blooming. It's been blooming in recent years, and we are so blind to see the fact that the problem isn't now, but the problem was back then, and the solution right now is to look back then and see what we can do better. Now, I also want to say that we need to normalize something that you don't have to come from the hood or from basically nothing to be successful. Because if your father is successful and you become more successful, doesn't mean you're less successful because, oh, you know, you had a platform to build on. Because if you notice, right, there are some, I don't want to say, you know, Black people, but, like, there are some people of our same color, right, that because they're not from the hood, people look at them some kind of way. Mm. Yeah. Like, is it that? that, oh, because I was caught up in the suburbs, I'm back enough.
I think that one is a class issue.
My father is successful. That means I didn't really go through stuff.
I think that's a class issue.
Yeah, because my parents did their job, then.
Because my dad stepped made a way for the family to not live in the same poverty as he found himself. Why is it that present day generation, they want to look like they are from the hood, or they came from nothing, just to make it look like the success story is fantastic?
Vivi, hold up, please.
Everybody
sorry.
Have different platform to build on. It's just like the story of the servants that the master gave them different talents. So take what you have and make it better.
Vivi, I want to.
Did you hear about the girl that got accepted to like 50 schools, 50 colleges?
Yes.
Yeah. People were now shaming her because she could apply to 50 colleges and get accepted to them. What you said just reminded me of that.
But Vivi, hold on. Are you connecting this to the race, like the
black people?
Are you connecting this to black people?
Yes, that black people, like, why can't we normalize just whatever platform you come from?
Do you think that topic is more dominant in black people, or it's a human thing, like poor and rich? Because I'm looking at it as a class thing.
I think it's both. Because I remember when Kylie Jenner started her business and it took off. People were like, "Well, he already had a platform." But a lot of celebrities have a platform, but it didn't do half of what she did.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is more than just a between black people thing. It's just culture in general, I guess. But it's true that it's very common with black people. Like, we always have to be sad at first. We have to be poor. We have to.
Oh, I say it's the mentality of tweeting. See,
why can't it just be that, I was born a certain way and I dress according to the way I was born or the way I was brought
Vivi,
up? And I still have a good life and I still went on to live a good life.
Vivi, let me tell you.
People even want that for their kids. So my in order for my child's story to be good, he has to be in the hood. So let me make sure he's poor.
Vivi, first of all, life is hard. Everybody's suffering. Whether you are rich or poor, life is hard.
The solution is that individually, all of us should go and make money.
Listeners.
Why I'm so like mesmerized by financial, stability and all of that. Because however you want to trace it, right? First of all, it's a different kind of racism when you're wealthy and black. Do you understand? It's a different kind of racism. And it's also like a different kind of mentality. It's a different kind of opportunity. So while it's difficult, right? One thing that we kind of have some kind of control over, right, is how far we want to like pursue or how far we want to go financially, right? Yeah, it's difficult, it's a hurdle compared to like other, or compared to like other races, for like the black man or the black person, right? But at the same time, right, we can decide that, this is how far we want to run this race, because there's much more blockage, there's much more things on the road for us to jump over, right? But we can decide, I've jumped over 2,000 of these, this is where I want to stop, or I've jumped over 2,000, I'm going to jump over 10,000 more, right? So it's just go as far as you can go, because if I become wealthy, Vivi becomes wealthy, you become, wealthy, like, we're that right there, it's becoming a change of power. You understand? So that goes back to that power thing. So
equalize it.
Or both class, it elevates the whole process, right? It elevates, everybody from where they are at the moment. It changes the topic, it changes the discussion, right? So, I just hope that when you guys eventually become financially, you know, successful the way you want, you are not mean to poor people. That's all I can hope for.
I was about to say this, that at the end it boils down to your heart.
So what I'm hearing is that we need to reduce wealth inequality. That's what I'm hearing.
That's
sounds like a topic.
It's possible.
This boy is such me.
It would be possible. It would be much more likely under a certain system.
I'm not in support of communism. I'm a capitalist. But my point is like, so just, I guess, call it, you know, like the inequality in like class or like wealth, right? But we need to reduce that gap.
If we can work on our mentality, I think that's one key thing we have to look into. And then we had the wealth thing, so have that in mind too. Not that I say hustle, please hustle as you can hustle. Don't go and hustle where you would implicate yourself or kill yourself. Or please, in this life, know how what makes you happy. You know, most especially, yes. Please. Though if it's money, do it in a way whereby it will not still kill you at the end. Or it's, you know, it's not what I'm saying, to not take a lot from you. That's what me, I'll just say, oh, because at the end is your heart. So individualize your happiness.
There's no way that money is actually what makes you happy in this life.
You need it though. But
for yourself.
You people have problems. That's what I'm
weak. Narcissist, speak for yourself.
Money should only be the means to which you get your happiness. In this capitalist society.
You are this capitalist again.
If our happiness comes from money, Sha,
you need money to see this boy.
Questions to answer to. You know, comments, questions, leave them in the comment section, right?
Yes. So for this, there is, but it's a VN. It's a voice message. So you could drop your comments or whatever opinions in voice message, or you could go to our podcast, like the discussion we had, and what do you want to have to add to it, you can add. But if you want to drop a comment or what all those things, this is a podcast, you would have to drop a VN and it will come to me. Then I'll just have to give you guys the feedback that, okay, this is what someone said or this is what people said. But you could also, yeah, you guys, you could drop a voice message, or if you want to drop a voice message through the Anchor app, that's where you could actually drop a voice message. If you have the Anchor app, or maybe through the website, and drop a VN under my podcast, and then I'll listen to your voice note. Through Apple Podcast, under the, they have ratings, so you can rate, and then you can rate this particular episode and drop a comment there. That's another way you can get a comment.
So let's play a quick game. I want to play a game.
So before we round this off, we're just gonna like maybe play a little game or something like that. What I have in mind is you know, the one where we have like maybe 30 seconds or something like that, and then we have two options of something and you have to choose one.
Are you sure?
So right. for example, Vienna will be an issue.
You know what? I'm about to quit this call. How can you be this insulting?
What do you mean? Both of them are wonderful.
Don't get me started with the vocal range. It's too late for this.
Listen. Me, I'm a Fenty product myself.
You don't mean it.
I'm a Fenty product myself. Okay? I'll be back.
Oh my god.
Not only there because let me not say it.
Because what?
Okay, no. So this is why it's Rihanna for me over Beyonce, right? And it's very personal, because Rihanna's vibe is like, I feel like if we were to ever meet, right, we could definitely vibe on like a, you know, have fun, say crazy things, party, you know, probably get high, you know, really have a good time. And then after that, we can sit down and discuss on making money, because she is a fun businesswoman, right?
So it's not about music at all. It's to get high.
No, it's part of
music wise, Nelson, which one?
Even music wise, I like Rihanna. This is not to discount Beyonce. I'm not comparing the two of them. I'm just saying I have a preference to Rihanna, right? Perfect. Just because like a lot of our music is very, there's a whole,
you know, there's a
range. You know, there's a range. She has like Afro, you know, she has like soca, she has like pure R&B, she has a little bit of rap, you know, like there's a whole, you know.
Hey, but for the fun part, you don't know if Beyonce is fun too. Maybe she doesn't just show it too much. You know that woman now, it has an image, privacy. She might be.
Favorite
Kendall. Kendall Jenner.
Yeah. Yours is Kendall?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kendall.
What?
Kendall for me.
Are these people all Kardashians?
Kendall is Jenner.
Yeah. Oh, no, you said Jenner or Kardashian. Wait, you said Kardashians or Jenner?
I'm confused. Kardashians or Jenner.
Three are
for the whole show.
Yes. Okay, Kendall. Kendall, yeah. Kendall for me.
If keeping up is it's called keeping up with Kardashians.
You sure? Yeah.
So
okay, for you it's Kylie Kardashian. For Nelson it's Kylie Kardashian.
Yes, it's Kylie. Because once again, it goes back to the same thing, right? Kylie is fun.
You will get her.
Yes.
Also a good businesswoman. No, is that
how I'm for? Yeah.
No, it's the truth. It's the truth. Like, she's fun. She's, like, you know, innovative. Like, she likes to, like, do what makes her happy. Like, she can hang out, do all of that. But at the same time, business is very, very important to her. Because look at the niche that she has made for herself, right? So, it's pretty much the same thing that kind of attracts me to, like, Rihanna. Like, okay, there's also that.
Can I say something? Sarah, leave this highness now. Leave this highness.
We can have fun together and make money.
Sachin, who's your favorite Kardashian? Oh, you said Caitlyn Jenner.
Is it Caitlyn?
The one you said.
Who was the one that did the Pepsi ad?
It's Kendall.
Okay, it's Kendall that I like. That ad was very funny. So
Thank you guys for joining on this once again. Hopefully the listeners get to enjoy all we've said, banters, arguments, views shared, agreements and disagreements, but hopefully you guys enjoyed this. Just know that we're going to, you know, be consistent with giving you more of this kind of content, you know, the squad content. Just please, you guys, make sure you listen, share, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, follow on Spotify and Anchor and listen. Drop your voice message if you have anything to share with us concerning the topics we talked about. And so that's it. Thank you, Sochi, Nelson, Vivi, Sarah, and thank you to the listeners. So I think we'll convene some other time, and hopefully we'll have even more people to discuss trending or interesting topics that connects to everyone. Okay guys, so that was it for the squad podcast. It's all about good vibes here. Thank you for those that have been on my platform ever since I started. Thank you for being consistent with me, and to those that are newly listening to my discussions and newly listening to my podcast, thank you for listening, and hopefully you keep up with this podcast, and hopefully you can share to others to be aware of this. Thank you guys so much. So until the next time the squad meets, kindly watch out for my other episodes, where I'll be bringing more and more content. Hopefully I'm gonna bring more actually before the month of March ends. Thank you, and have a good day, evening, morning, weekend, whatever, whenever you listen to this. Bye.